Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Kyle Turley, former All-Pro offensive lineman. Always an interesting conversation, is going to be in studio with us later on in the hour. Kyle Turley. The flags last night on Trey Flowers will be interesting to get his take on, as the officials were unfortunately yet another A-list story from last night's NFL game. Also coming up this hour as part of your best audio of the day, Doug Peterson going a little too far in discussing his odds of beating the Cowboys coming up. We'll discuss whether Doug Peterson needed to walk that back. But it's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up here on the phones for your trashes at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. The NFL's trade deadline is 2 weeks away. And the Panthers have one more game between now and then. And the Carolina Panthers are 4-0 with Kyle Allen after a 2-0-2 start with Cam Newton. And a report from the New York Post cites an NFL source as saying there would be 10 teams willing to trade for Cam Newton right now before the deadline. Should the Panthers deal Cam? Here's the danger, is that you don't really have a big enough sample size to know whether Kyle Allen is a flash in the pan or Kyle Allen actually is a better solution to your offense. At this point in time, the offense is better with Kyle Allen. And part of that reason is because with Cam's lack of confidence going downfield and lack of accuracy, because Cam's re-surgically repaired shoulder is not what it was before, and because Cam's ankle, his foot, has been dinged up as well, so he's not able to create as much as he used to with his legs, you can simply lock in on Christian McCaffrey that much more. And that Todd Bowles, this past week, said the Panthers are harder to game plan for without Cam Newton. Now, that is about as damning as it gets. But a defensive coordinator saying they're tougher to game plan because of Kyle Allen. Because we can't allocate 85% of our resources on a game plan on just basically what he would call the mesh point between Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey. That was the entire offense, and that Cam couldn't really get everybody else involved, and so it was much easier to defend against. Right now, as we sit here on October 15th, 2019, no doubt the Panthers' offense is better, and the Panthers are better without Cam Newton, with Kyle Allen, an undrafted quarterback. That's just real talk. It is real. They are better. Now, that is because of a couple of reasons. Number one, Cam Newton's injured. If you had Cam Newton perfectly healthy, would that be the same? Probably not. Number two, the Panthers over the last couple of weeks have played beatable teams. It's not like they've taken on the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Niners. Carolina has had the benefit of a couple of games where, you know what, with Kyle Allen, they can still get by. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the Buccaneers. You have a Texans team in there that is kind of shocking that you were able to beat them, but that had less to do about Kyle Allen and more to do about the Carolina defense holding Deshaun Watson and Texans to just 10 points. And you beat a Jaguars team that's plucky with Gardner Minshew, but is still sub-500. It is set up in your favor. Things get much more difficult coming up here as you'll take on the Packers in Green Bay, at New Orleans a little bit after that, at the 49ers coming up as well in their next game. These are far different challenges than beating the Bucs, the Cardinals, and the Texans when you only score 16 points with Kyle Allen as your quarterback. But right now, the Panthers have to seriously consider this. They have to. They have to seriously consider this. Trading Cam Newton. Because is Cam what he once was? Is he ever going to get back to where he once was? I think the answer is probably not. Cam might be able to evolve. Cam might be able to become a different type of quarterback. And maybe when he's healthy with his foot and with his shoulder, confident in that shoulder, maybe he's back to being a very effective weapon at quarterback. I don't think he's ever going to be MVP 2015 Cam, but we think that, I think at least, that if he's healthy, he can become much more than he is right now. But you can't go away from Kyle Allen right now. And the Panthers are caught in a bad spot because they need more time to figure out whether this is just a flash in the pan or whether they are actually better. And I think the fact is, you can't trade Cam Newton before the deadline unless you are overwhelmed with an offer. And I don't see that offer coming. I don't think anybody's going to be out there saying, we got to give two ones for Cam. Because there's too many question marks about Cam's health, his age, his effectiveness. If somebody wants to give you a pair of ones, if somebody wants to give you half their draft, because they think that Cam is the solution to their quarterback problem, I think you got to take it. But I don't think somebody's going to do that. And thus, you need more time to see if Kyle Allen is real or just right now the flavor of the week. But I know this. You're 4-0 with one guy, you're 0-2 with the other guy. You can't just put Cam in there. Now, you have a bye before your next game at the Niners. In that game, you've got to start Kyle Allen. You've got to see if Kyle Allen can beat a good team. And maybe Kyle Allen is exposed. Maybe Allen at this point in time gets exposed by a really good Niners defense going on the road cross country against an undefeated San Francisco team. Maybe then you see, oh, yeah, right, okay, Allen is this. And then you have absolutely no intent to trade Cam Newton. But you can't go to Cam yet. Not with a team that's undefeated with a different quarterback. You're 4-2. You're smack dab in the middle of the wild card race. Hell, you're in the middle of the division race for the Saints as well that you get twice. Shockingly, you can't afford to start Cam Newton. You've got to see this thing through a little bit farther. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, Twitter DA on CBS. Last night in Green Bay, a very unfortunate sequence of events from the officials once again. And I don't blame any Lions fan for being frustrated, angry, mad at the officials because we deserve better as a league and fans of the league. And you could absolutely blame the refs having a hand in the loss for the Lions. The Lions got jobbed. But there are plays out there that Detroit needed to make that they did not make that could have made their lives a lot easier. You know, this is not one of those instances where that flag happens on the final play of the game, and that an evenly played game that you did everything that you could to win up until that point was defined by one flag. But there's no doubt that the Lions got the short end of the stick. And the good news is Detroit has proven to be good enough to win games like that. And that defense is legit. And Matt Stafford hasn't had to do too much. And when Stafford does do what he can do, he can still fire long balls and create big plays. And Kerryon Johnson is a totally legit stud running back. And the Lions have a lot of good pieces to compete deep. And I think they've got something cooking with Patricia, that he is the first Belichick disciple that you could actually say, okay, there's a plan here, and I like the ascent. I think that this has legs. It's only year two. We're not even midway through year two, so I'm not going to go too crazy here, because once upon a time, Eric Mangini looked like the solution with the Jets. Once upon a time, Josh McDaniels looked like the solution with the Broncos. They can easily flame out early. But I think the good news is they've gotten much better, much stronger, much more disciplined in what they want to do in year two versus year one. But the officials last night, bad. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Remember, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Ben is in New Jersey listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, what's up, DA?
How you doing?
I'm good. I got to completely disagree with you. I think those are two game-altering calls, which the Lions, let's face it, they're not good enough to overcome it. They won one playoff series in the last 40 years. They're one of the worst organizations in the NFL. They dominated that game. They deserve to win that game.
Yeah, but 40 years of them not winning a playoff game has nothing to do with winning last night.
True, but I'm just making a track record that they're not good enough to overcome stuff like that. They're a
solid team. Because they didn't win a playoff game with Barry Sanders?
No, it's just that they're not well run. That's why.
How could you say they're not well run?
Because you've seen the last, they've been one of the worst organizations in the NFL for the last,
Ben,
you know, what,
Ben,
20 plus years.
Ben,
yes.
Why would we go back to how they were run in 1995 to decide whether they were able to win last night?
I'm making the point that they're not good enough to overcome stuff like that. They've been a fringe team. The problem is now, instead of being on top of the division, they're going to be behind two teams now, behind the Packers and Vikings, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs because now the Packers and the Vikings are going to have the head-to-head over them. So when you look at that overcall,
there's a lot of football to be played, and to decide that the Lions are not going to make the playoffs on October the 15th is asinine. And to bring up 40 years of failure for why they are not good enough as a franchise to overcome last night is also asinine. Those calls were brutal calls. And Cleet Blakeman's crew did a poor job, a terrible job at calling those three flags. But if you want to sit here and say that the Lions are not good enough to go to the playoffs this year, that's wrong. And if you're going to just sit here and point to the history of the Lions organization as why they're not good enough right now to do anything is stupid. And that the Lions had plays they had to make last night, and they did not make them as well. To just put this on the officials, I think, is stupid. It's terrible. Those were bad missed calls. But it's not like the Lions played the perfect game. I mean, and you can get off that moment. You can get off that rock right now. The Lions did not play perfect football, and they are good enough to play better than they played last night. And if you got any marbles in your brain, you know the Lions are good enough to have played better than they played last night, with or without those penalties. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day, and that includes Doug Peterson having to walk back something he said about the Cowboys. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I'm actually in some hot water with my girlfriend right now because of your show. She asked me how I'm doing at work. I respond, a little wet, a little drip, and doing nothing but speaking in your show drops, and it is actually causing me problems in my personal life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Pardon me, my fault. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show, won't you? Go to watchda.com. And you can watch it on any device, your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your PC, your smart TV. WatchDA.com for the simulcast every single day. It's like the DA show on TV.
What you think about that, DA?
The Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at the Washington Nationals and their plan for success. Can punch their ticket to the World Series with a win tonight at home against the Cardinals. Look at a sweep. They have dominated the series. The Cardinals have scored two runs in three games. And tonight, Patrick Corbin, he's next up. Good luck, Redbirds. In the NLCS, Nats starters have tossed 21 and a third innings without an earned run. Just insane. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store. Have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that's Napa know-how. And I really believe that the Nationals have benefited from actually being in a pennant race this year, unlike other years where they just kind of coasted to the National League East title and weren't playing for their lives late and then got into the playoffs and didn't know how to navigate that. And this year they finally were playing every game that mattered in August and September, and I think that carried over. On a Trash Tuesday, John in NYC tweets, I'm trashing the so-called home field advantage at Arrowhead Stadium. The last 2 weeks were examples of this. Even Joe Flacco and Marcus Mariota have won playoff games there. Let's just be real about it.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Arrowhead Stadium is one of the best places in America to watch a sporting event. But it's true, the last 2 weeks, the Colts went in there and roughed up the Chiefs, especially in the trenches, and kind of bullied them into submission. Then last week, or this past weekend, another home loss in a pretty crucial game as Deshaun Watson and company goes on the road to get a win. And worse, the Chiefs gave up a lead in that one. Aaron tweets, I'm trashing Jason Garrett. He's not making tacos anymore. As a fan of the overpaid underachievers, I've had enough of watching them fall short every season. I want my tacos. Hashtag, I don't love you, Nomo.
Stinky debris.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
And I think it's been very clear for a long time. The teams that make tacos best win the Super Bowl. And if you don't know how to make a taco, you got no chance at hoisting the Lombardi Trophy.
As long as you're making tacos, I love you.
But if you ain't making tacos, I ain't love you no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Art Bobart tweets, it's partly the Lions' fault last night. They got 6 points off of two turnovers. Yeah, the officials didn't help, but they didn't help themselves either. I agree. Look, there's nobody that likes to take a 2x4 to the officials more than I do. But screaming bloody murder at the officials is a good way to always avoid having to address that your team also blew it. Marty Moose Knuckle tweets, I'm trashing my girlfriend who invited me to her friend's wedding last weekend but failed to give me the invitation that said black tie encouraged. I didn't get the memo. Hashtag get me out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Embarrassing. You show up. You think you look good. You got a nice suit on. You got a nice tie on. You show up. It's a black tie affair. Everybody looks way more dressed up than you. They're in tuxedos and bow ties. And you're like, oh, God, I'm the slob here.
I usually
point and laugh at the slob, and I'm the slob. What do they say? If you walk into a wedding and within 5 minutes can't identify the slob, you are the slob. And Marty includes a video where he turns the camera on himself and he's wearing like a linen colored suit. So really a bad look at a black tie event. Marty, you are the slob. It's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Tom Brady asked whether he is going to politic for Gronk to return.
When people make those decisions that are really life-altering decisions, career changes and so forth, I mean, they're doing that, you know, with a lot of times pretty strong fortitude. So it's not really my place to try to speak to them and what changes they want to make on their life on my behalf. So if they want to make them, they should be on their behalf.
I think that's a good attitude to have, because if Gronk's going to walk away, and it sounded like it was really dark and miserable and painful to be playing football for him, that this is a pretty serious decision he's made. And you don't just say, oh, you got to help us win more football games, so come back and risk your mental health and your physical health. So I appreciate that response from Brady. I don't know what Gronk is thinking, because it feels like Gronk keeps this door open constantly to come back as this kind of cat and mouse game that he will come back. I mean, it certainly does not sound like he's never always shutting the door. He has not shut off that conversation. So, you know, I think he likes that attention of will he, won't he? And because of that, I can't quite take the retirement completely seriously either. I feel for him, compassion that he went through such dark moments and had to walk away. But I think he's kind of having fun teasing people about whether he's going to come back or not. LeBron James in some hot water after yesterday saying that Daryl Morey was, quote, misinformed in his tweet about China.
Sit back and learn from the situation that happened. Understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe... I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke.
So there's a lot there to unpack, but LeBron obviously getting crucified today because he's been outspoken about social issues, and now it sounds like he's kowtowing to the Chinese, perhaps because the NBA makes a ton of money, or he makes a ton of money because of his Chinese business ties there and the NBA's business ties. I would say I understand that criticism. However, everybody that's got the bows and arrows out for LeBron today about not being more critical of China, I wonder how much you are doing to also make it known that you are anti-China's human rights record and that you are pro-Hong Kong. I mean, I think it's really easy to say, well, the NBA should be speaking out against this. Well, would you just immediately drop your phone and just because it was built in China? I mean, are you not going to... Is everything in your apartment or your house or your life not purchased from China? Are you taking a stand against the Chinese? Are you saying the human rights record is not good enough? The Hong Kong thing is a disaster, so nothing in my life is purchased from China? I mean... And how educated is everybody on this? You know, I think LeBron coming off as wagging his finger at Daryl Morey might feel hypocritical, and I understand people that think that. But for the people that think that, how educated are you about Hong Kong? And it's kind of funny. Everybody kind of assumes and demands the NBA players and coaches, you should know about this. You should speak out about this. But do we expect that from ourselves? And why do we expect coaches and players to be so much more educated about interpolitical and international politics and geopolitics and their nuance more than we are? You know, and if LeBron's outspoken about American social issues, does he have to be outspoken about international human social issues as well? I think the problem was it sounded like LeBron is saying, shame on you, you're misinformed, you were wrong, when in fact Daryl Morey's take might have been completely informed. It just might be unpopular within the business circles of the NBA. I think that message is problematic for LeBron, but I'm going to find this hysterical, because I'm sure all day today everybody's going to absolutely railroad LeBron when probably on their Chinese phone They will be on their Chinese iPhone trashing LeBron on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram as they have absolutely no knowledge whether everything that they have around them was purchased from China. And finally, Doug Peterson on 94.1 WIP in Philadelphia, all but guaranteeing a win against the Cowboys.
I know the sky's falling outside.
Yes.
You know, it's falling, and I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But, you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
You know, I don't think that that's that big a deal. I know that people jumped all over Doug Peterson and say, how could you guarantee that? And he kind of had to walk it back a little bit. But why? I mean, that's not this kind of bold, we're going to kick their butt, they're no good, it's going to be a 50-point win. That's confidence in his guys. Doug Peterson has always coached with an aggressive nature. I don't mind that at all. I don't think that that's somehow disrespectful to the Cowboys. I would hope that he would feel that way. And Peterson has been a bit brash, let's face it, at other times. So this is par for the course to me from Peterson and the Eagles. When we come back here on the show, scheduled to be joined by Kyle Turley, former offensive lineman, all-pro offensive lineman. Always a pretty fascinating conversation with him. He's scheduled to join us in studio coming up here next. I'll ask him about the flags that were thrown last night of the Monday Night Football game, and also a dreadful Rams offensive line that is really part and parcel of the problem with the Rams offense right now, an offensive line that once upon a time he was part of. So that's coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the Daw. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Trash Tuesday, send us your trashes. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Or you could also hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. Now, on Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau Field with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indianapolis. It all begins with the JB and the guys getting you ready for all of the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. You may have seen this story in Los Angeles on Sunday night as the Pittsburgh Steelers were in town to take on the Chargers. There is far more Steelers fans in attendance than Chargers fans. But this is normal for the Chargers not to have a home field advantage, which kind of makes them going 12-4 last year even more remarkable. I mean, Anthony Lynn and the Chargers kind of crashing back down to earth this year. But this is so good. The Chargers PA people, the in-stadium ops, tried to rickroll Steelers fans in Pittsburgh. The Steelers theme song, if you will, that they use to get people fired up is Sticks Renegade, which is like the most perfect Western PA song to get Steelers fans fired up. I know because I got family in Western PA. I've got family in McKeesport that are 50-year season ticket holders for the Steelers, and I've gone to games with them, and if you could have if there was a theme song for that side of my family, it would be a Sticks song from the late 70s. It would have to be Sticks Renegade. Like, forget using a song from, I don't know, the last 35 years. Let's go back to the 70s and dig up a Sticks song. So, it's just so perfect. And they played it at the game Sunday night and tried to roll it into a Rick Astley song, like a Rick roll. And instead, the Steelers fans were like, yeah, this song is awesome. Woo! Woo! Terrible towel. And all the Chargers are like, why are we firing up? Why are we firing up the road fans? And it is just the most Steeler thing ever. Steelers fans showed up, nearly sold the building out themselves, had a million terrible towels, and got fired up for not only Sticks, but also Rick Astley. If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the Steelers and Steelers fans, I don't know what will. And that's why I love them. That's why I love them. Joining us here on the show is a former All-Pro offensive lineman, a guy that's always been a really interesting conversation for a long time for us here on the DA show. Kyle Turley joining us this morning on the program. Kyle, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Sorry I'm not in there with you. I was heading that way, but I'm a Bentley. I apologize. It's crazy down here in New York.
It's all good, man. It's all good. I appreciate you dropping on by either way and doing it over the phone. And, you know, you were part of the Rams organization, and you were an offensive lineman there. And this Rams offensive line, they've been really problematic this season. And the Rams offense just does not look the same. Jared Goff throwing for 78 yards on Sunday. How much of the Rams' problems on offense have to do in the trenches on the offensive line, you think?
Well, they've lost a few guys. You know, they lost guys in free agency that helped them get to the Super Bowl, help protect Jared Goff. You know, so they have a few new guys in there, certain positions, interior. You got your stalwart there, Whitworth, and he's doing a great job. He's always going to do a great job for you. Every now and then, it's going to look ugly, but you know, you've got to start relying. I mean, you only have 78 yards; it's a lot bigger than your offensive line.
So last night, the big takeaway from the game is the officiating. Everybody wants to talk about how the officials screwed up the game and the multiple foul calls on Trey Flowers for hands to the face when it looked like he did not have them at the face, but maybe the shoulder pads or the neck area as well. Having played in the trenches before, having been on that offensive line, what did you see when you saw the officials throw those two flags?
You forget I played for the Saints, so last year it was just like, whatever, you know, that's
yeah.
And unfortunately, they just don't replay it enough to know and don't give guys credit enough to know. You know, I mean, even on the hit we saw last night where a guy's clearly going for the ball, and now they've dinged him for a 15-yard or probably might have kicked him out of the game, you know. I mean, he's not going helmet-to-helmet contact. He's going for an interception. You know, this is a game of football, and a game of inches and milliseconds, millimeters, however you want to articulate that. Things happen in an instant. It's easy to say things when you just saw it and then in a slow-motion replay. But in real time, unfortunately, these officials and the people up in the booths, I mean, if I'm sitting on my couch and you're sitting on your couch and you can call it, they should be able to call it. Unfortunately, we go back to a conspiracy on those conversations. In the NFL, this is entertainment business, and they're going to do what they want.
Kyle Turley joining us this morning on the show. Do you believe in conspiracies? Do you think the officials have it out for certain teams?
Let's just say I've seen behind the curtain. I know a few things. And then otherwise, what we're about to talk about. I mean, I've seen this conversation as far as conspiracies go from every level now and into this whole conversation, like a segue into with cannabis. It's very real.
All right, I'm going to let you have plenty of time to talk about cannabis, no doubt about it. I want to get to that. But if you say, I've seen behind the curtain, I've seen some things, you can't leave us on that. What have you seen or what leads you to believe that there could be shady dealings behind the curtain?
I can just say that I know these things. I know them as fact. I know them that I've seen a plan for the New Orleans, or not the New Orleans. I've seen a business plan and a stadium plot plan and everything for the San Antonio Saints. And let's just say that some things happened there. And, a lot of other things happened in, around the NFL and around sports leagues in general. You know, people can go out there and just look up the history of what sports is and who's won things and why and how do certain people stay on top. You know, the only true champion out there is the New England Patriots, period.
The only true champion. Now, some would say that they have tainted championships. You don't believe that?
Not at all. I mean, there are certain ways that they got them in there. I guess to go back to the beginning with the Raiders and, the whole thing with Brady throwing the ball or not throwing the ball and Woodson knocking that out, whatever. You can go back to all those things and say they got in there. But once they got in, believe me, they've been trying their hardest to get them out.
So there's so many different ways we could go here. So you got Spygate, you got Deflategate, And in your mind, that does not discredit the championships for the Patriots. In your mind, they're the true champion.
In my mind, they are. I mean, they've ridden over all these people that are out trying to knock against them. They don't want those guys in the Super Bowl every year, unless that's a whole other conspiracy that the Patriots ironically are in the world discussion that we're in with everything. You know, why is it the red, white, and blue Patriots are in the Super Bowl every year and winning championships? But I just see through the eyes of someone who's been there, that they're trying pretty hard to not let those guys get back there every year. Unfortunately, they got a coach there, Bill Belichick, that knows what he's doing, and you know, they've crafted enough protections around these quarterbacks now that you got a guy that can stay healthy that long, and Tom Brady.
Kyle Turley is our guest this morning on the show. A final question about this conspiracy theory. Did you feel this way when you were playing or once you got out of the game?
Of course, when you're playing, you see things even closer and clearer. So, you know, you question a bunch of things, you know, and it didn't have answers. You know, and then you get behind there and you see what's going on, and hey, it is what it is. Entertainment, right?
Okay, fair enough. Kyle Turley is our guest this morning here on the show. So you are an advocate.
I leave my door open for some type of job down the road here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So you have been a longtime advocate for cannabis use for the dealings with the health issues of football players. And it seems to me to be a far safer road and path than the opioids and all the types of pain-killing medication that they have prescribed for years for athletes. How close are we, do you think, to the NFL and other leagues adopting cannabis as a legal way to deal with pain?
Well, you know, we'll see. That's a whole conspiracy around that and why that's even the case. You know, why are we even just testing for marijuana? So once a year, one-time test for most players, unless you wind up in the program, where you're, you know, drug tested randomly at any time. Cannabis is, marijuana has just been this thing where, for whatever reason, people want to hang on to it, you know. And at the end of the day, when we look into the science of it, actually, now that all of these people are having these amazing experiences that people can't believe, getting off of all of these pills, et cetera. I mean, I've not been on one pharmaceutical, not one, in over 5 years. And I had real issues. Vertigo constantly, migraine headaches constantly, impulse rage, all these other things that you know about with CTE, what we talked about here. And over the last 5 years since being able to get off of those pills and onto a strict cannabis regimen, it's undeniable. I mean, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm out here saying these things. I flew across the country to New York to speak at this convention and conference here today on this issue, because this is not about cannabis. This is not about marijuana. This is about why does it work. And the truth and the science behind that is that it matches our genetic profile. And every human on Earth has a level of THC. If they would lower the THC scanner for drug testing to 10 nanograms, every person in the world would test positive for marijuana. So we must understand why this is. It's about your cannabinoid system, and it's in the center of your brain, and recognized around the world as the number one regulatory system in the human body. So I'm a guy who didn't get a degree from San Diego State, was an art major, for that matter, and played football. So why do I know more? Why do I know these things? I'm out here saying these truths that NFL doctors should be saying. You know, this is a question to Dr. Alan Fils, who is a neurosurgeon and the only neuroprotective substance on the planet that has been patented is cannabis by the U.S. government.
Kyle Turley joining us this morning on the show, played in the NFL for 8 seasons, has been very outspoken about this cause for a while, which is a really interesting case study. And you can check out more information by going to neuroxpf.com. That's Extreme Performance Fuel, neuroxpf.com. And Kyle's story is up there, man. I wish we could catch up in person when we have these conversations. It's always fun, but it's great to have you on the phone anyway, man. Enjoy your time in New York, and I appreciate you jumping in.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate your time.
You got it. Kyle Turley, our guest this morning on the show. Well, I mean, Kyle Turley opening up the biggest can of worms of all time. Played in the NFL. Says he's seen behind the curtain. Says he's seen things. and that he knows there's conspiracy theories that abound, and there's large behind-the-scenes mechanics positioning things in place, and that the Patriot, of all the takes I didn't think I was going to hear, was Kyle Turley this morning on the show say the Patriots are the only true champion, a team that's been docked multiple first-round draft picks for cheating, a team that benefited from one of the most controversial calls that they've now changed the ruling of, the Tuck rule. The Patriots, who have seemed to skirt the law for years, the only true champion. You got to like Turley. When he zigs, when you zig, he zags. And when you think he's going to go right, he goes left. That was tremendous. That was excellent.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
I got a lot of emotions right now. A lot of them. When we come back, let's talk about last night's flags. Why? Why is officiating so awful in the NFL? I'll give you my theory next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.